Our Heavenly Father, we come to You again this day, and we thank You, Lord, for the precious Word of God been taught in this place. And now we come for the purpose of looking into the Word of God. And so we ask that You'd give us wisdom. We ask, Father, that You'd give us understanding. We pray that You'd help this frail body, that it may be the vessel that could be say what's need to be said, and You're the center of Your will. Dear Father, I pray You please help me especially with the message today. In Jesus' name we pray. This morning I want to speak on something that's not easy, but it's necessary. And I was thinking back months ago, you know, when Jesus was here on this earth, He talked and about truths, and He talked in such a way, many times people hear, but they don't listen. We have that same problem today. We as people many times hear things, but we don't really listen. And those things that we listen to, if we're not careful while we're hearing something, to listen will explain it better than just hearing. There's a lot of things you hear you don't recognize registers with you, but it does. Especially if it's not checked before it falls into the subconscious mind. And so when Jesus was here, He did a lot of things, attracted a lot of people, but when He began to preach and teach the Word of God, they separated from Him. But the thing that He knew about His teaching was this. What He was teaching is necessary to let them understand something. As a human being in a physical world, He was teaching spiritual truths, which is easy blocked in this body because of a fallen condition. So He'd always use something to throw alongside the spiritual truth, and we call it parables. He'd use something about corn dying. And people knew, understood that. They had to live. People in those days were more farming than were anything else, just like up to probably a few years ago. I remember when I was a boy, 80% of people in this part of the state farmed. The other 20-25% actually work public jobs. Now it's completely reversed. It may be like 10% farming, 90% working, or maybe more. The ratio may be even greater than that. But He would talk about a grain of corn falling in the ground. Now they were hearing His words, but suddenly they listened because they could identify the truth with something and see how it worked other than just hear it with ear. A lot of times spiritual truths are put out, but people hear them, but they can't put them together, so they just go. That's about it. They hear and they're gone. They don't have any effect on our lives at all because we hear and then listen. And the reason for we can't listen may not because we don't understand it. And so Jesus would use a grain of corn, or He'd use a grain of wheat, or He'd talk about a vine and a branch. He'd use these examples that in turn that they might not just hear His words, but identify with those words and see how this works. Then God said, raise that to a spiritual level and you'd understand what I'm doing and it'll increase your faith. In other words, you can't see the spiritual world with your natural eyes. So I'm giving you a spiritual truth and I'm letting you see it through an element that you can understand by a grain of corn being planted, dying, and coming forth and having multiple grains on a ear of corn, or a grain of wheat, or a vine, or a branch. The branch itself on that branch is the fruit, but the branch doesn't produce the fruit. The vine is the energy to the fruit. So we see this spiritual truth in analysis of a physical situation, and that helps us in this life to identify with things more about what God has said. And so I thought, well, I wonder if Christ would come today, would He use the same examples or metaphors or allegories or whatever He might use, or types of shadows, would He use the same? And He probably would, but I would bet you if He'd come today, He'd use some other things we're familiar with. Now, since most of us in here are not farmers, we may have in the past, talking about a grain of wheat dying on a grain of corn being planted and dying, we thought it comes from the grocery store. Generation now being produced and growing up that we're in turn don't really know what it is to farm. Hey, farm is hard work. I mean, you just don't say, well, all you do is go out and plant the seed. Oh, there's a lot more to it than that. If you just go out and plant the seed, more than likely, unless you've got some way to control it, something will come up that will kill what you planted. There's a lot of work into it. So I believe he'd come today, he'd talk about maybe in using examples to show us taking the telephone and giving us a example of something spiritual, or taking the television, which signal's been received, or better still, the computer. And I got thinking about this thing, and this message is going to divide it up into two messages, because I think it's very necessary for us to understand the difference between the conscious and the subconscious. And so this morning I'm going to talk about the subconscious, and next week talk about the conscious. But the reason for that, I'm going to have to talk a little bit about the conscious to get to the subconscious, since that's the way it goes. We go from the conscious to the subconscious. And the Bible has a lot to us to say about some things along this line. You see, we show everything today on television or movies or DVRs or films that are evil. There's more evil on those things than good. You'd have to say amen to that. And so, they're so corrupt, and they say it does not affect people. It does affect people, of course. If you sit at hours and look at things like that, you just don't check it with your conscious. It falls into the subconscious and develops character in times, which in turn, when you see nothing but evil, you can't have nothing but some evil bringing itself out through your conscious from your subconscious. You can't have it. A man who's cussed all his life, be hard to quit cussing. You can get saved still hard, be quick, because those things that happen early in life will carry it on. And young folks, that's the reason it's so important. Believe me, it's important what your ears and your eyes see while you're young. Because when you get older, if it falls in the sub, and you listen to me this morning more than just hear it, and you'll find out there's things in my mind now that pops up that I thought I had forgot 50 years ago. There's things that comes up today I had no idea would even bother me years later, because I didn't even think of them in such a way, but because I put a little bit of attention on it, it seems like. Now, there's some good things, I thank the Lord about that. I mean, last night I dreamed all night long I was back at Chow Cross working again. And I worked hard. And I saw a lot of people in my dream. Some are dead now, and I saw them in my dream and working years ago. I don't mind things like that, but there's some things I'd rather never remember again. This I'd rather never remember again. A lot of things I learned years ago I never think of. And so you do too. You didn't come where you're at without learning. There's some things you learned years ago you never thought of again. Probably you can't even think of them now if you try to. But there's some things that pop up in your mind you'd rather not remember. And Satan's a powerful being in doing that when we understand. When we don't understand what's happening to us as individuals, we are wonderfully and fearfully made in the image of God. We have a mind, and we're able to make decisions, and God has made us that way. He made us responsible. Even though we are fallen in the first Adam, we're still responsible about what goes into these bodies and what comes out of these bodies. And that's not only talking about food, it's talking about words and thoughts and patterns like that. And so I want you to turn with Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. And here, God is warning and giving instructions. And Solomon says, as he talks about the evil eye in verse 6, he says, "Now, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Now, I'll tell you what, most of the time you think on things that you've learned and processed rather than just hearing. Things that have literally been that you listen more to than just hear. Now, look with me in Acts chapter 23. I use that because we're talking about the center of things here, or the things that we learn in life. In Acts chapter 23, turn over there with your eyes, and we'll just look in just a moment. If you look down about verse 1, in chapter 23 and verse 1, Paul said this. He said, "And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day." He said to this Sanhedrin court, "Man, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." Not only was he, when he was doing wrong in killing Christians, he thought he was doing that which was a good conscience. He didn't know no better. It's where he came from, what he listened to through the years that governed him, that settled in his heart. He was under the Old Testament system, thinking that anything else that destroyed that or seemingly destroyed that could not be right or legal. And therefore, he even had letters going to Damascus, you know, on the Damascus Road, and end up killing Christians. And yet he says here, even then, I had lived in all good conscience before God until this day. If you look over in chapter 24 and verse 16, he said again, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offenses towards God and towards men. He said, with that which I knew, and now even more so now with Jesus Christ in his heart from Acts chapter 9, he said, I want you to know that I have lived and exercised myself. I have committed myself in what I do to always a conscience void of offenses. That is, I kept my mind as clean as I could as offenses against God. And then I like, he says, and towards men. In other words, my relationship with God caused me to have a relationship right with men if my relationship was right with God. Then I see in Acts chapter, if you look, no, in 1 Peter, look with me, the last verse, and then we'll get right into the message, because I'm going to have to hurry to even get through the first part. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16, Peter said this, having a good conscience, Peter's talking now, having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as an evildoer, that they may be ashamed, they falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ or your good way of life in Christ. We live in an evil world, that the world is an evil conscience fed by satanic means. And there's times that when you try to live the Christian life, even sometimes good people will make things on you, lie about things on you, which in turn can hurt you. And what Peter has said, as long as you have that good conscience that you know this is something that you, that whatever the situation is that God led into, and you're not the cause of it, other than the fact to give God glory for it. He said, whereas they speak evil of you as an evildoer, when they began to strow stuff about an evildoer, he said, you mark it down. You live the good conscience, continue on. They may be ashamed. They falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. And in verse 21, he said, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth now also save us, not to put away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If we obey God more than just hear, but listen and obey God, then he will give us the conscience that's needed to govern us, even though the world may not understand. And I want to talk to you a few minutes on the subconscious. You can have a pure conscience, or you can have a defiled conscience. I can have a pure conscience, or I can have a defiled conscience. And it's not, by the way, God wants me to have a pure conscience. But he won't force it on you and I, but we will have to make the decision to know what God says to keep our conscience pure, so when we analyze things in life, we will be able to be objected about it. And if it's wrong, it'll be wrong, and we proclaim it wrong. But if we don't have all the evidence, then we're going to say, listen, I just don't know. Now here, conscience, Webster says, having a feeling or knowledge, the awareness of something. That is, having a feeling or knowledge. That is, you feel something because you're here this morning. You feel you're aware that you're here this morning. The awareness of something. The knowledge that you're here this morning. That's conscious. Subconscious, Webster says, imperfectly awareness. Not fully conscious, occurring only with only slight perceptions. Now, if you're here slumbering this morning, half asleep, you're not full conscious. If I've got my mind anywhere else other than here, I'm not full. But I'm awareness of being here. In other words, imperfect awareness. You don't really know. You're not fully conscious. You're occurring with only slight. You just don't know. Slight perceptions in and out. That's not full conscious, even though you may be fully alive. The conscious is the mind having the awareness of one's own existence. Two former classmates met each other. They'd been out of school about 15 years, and they met each other, and one had got married, and the other had not got married. And one of the classmates that had not been married, he said to his friend who was married, he said, I've been thinking lately, I have about a half a mind to get married. And the guy who was married said, that's all you need. Well, he was just half right, or half wrong, I guess you could say, or maybe fully wrong. But the subconscious is the heart. Not wholly conscious, but capable of being made conscious. Not wholly in charge, not knowing all the facts, but yet in turn, fully capable of learning those facts. Learning where one is at that particular time. And the reason I'm going through this now, because I want to use the computer's analysis. I'm not a computer person. I have to read the manual, just know how to cut it on. But I know enough about it in studying the last 4 or 5 weeks to understand something that helps us understand the conscious and the subconscious of you and I. And ladies and gentlemen, you know what? We don't understand ourselves. We just think we got it all together. We go where we want to go, see what we want to see, do what we want to do, and there's no responsibility. And next thing you know, we've lived 50 or 60 years and look back and say, good grief, where did life go to? And you begin to look at things that you didn't think registered in your heart and mind years ago, and now you realize that they're because they were making you into a character of some kind which you are today. Even though you didn't know it was happening. And I didn't even know it was happening. And I guess since I've been in this message, I've analyzed myself more than I could anyone else, because I know myself more than I know anyone else at this time. And so I believe the mind is like a computer. The subconscious mind is like that which is programmed into a computer. Now, when you type something into a computer, and I've done it many times, it shows up on the screen. Amen? There's nothing conviction about that. When you type it, it shows up on the screen. And it does not become part of the hard drive until you do what? You enter it. It has to be entered. There's a key that you can press will delete that material and prevent it from being stored in the computer's memory. But if you don't delete it and you enter it, it becomes part of the computer in the hard drive. Now, the typing of that material is similar to our conscious mind. Sometimes you cannot stop something from being entered into the screen of the computer due to the network. And I'm amazed. I've been working on the computer, the network, studying messages, and suddenly something come on the screen I didn't even come close to entering. As a matter of fact, it upset me and made me mad when I saw it. Have you ever done that? And I was questioning one person one time. I said, why is that? How can that happen? Me be doing something, all of a sudden something pops up that I didn't ask for. He said they've got them made that way. He said they're set up, whereas in turn they're trying to get your attention. And unless you have some way to keep that from happening, you'll obviously see anything up on the computer when you're just looking at Disney World or something. When you type it into a computer, it shows up on the screen. And here, sometimes it'll just pop up when you're actually working the computer. But you can keep it from being stored in the memory of the computer. You can delete it. And that's why I said, isn't that, praise the Lord, isn't that an amazing thing? I cannot keep my mind and ears from seeing and hearing what's in this wicked world. You can't either. You just go down the road and look at the billboards. You turn on the radio in most places. You look at the television and anything, and you'll find anything except something that's good, and that'll be a very small percentage if you see it. And so you can't see anything in this world without it being meant, put on the screen of your mind or your conscience. And I'll tell you this, many times we don't think much about it, and suddenly instead of deleting it and getting it out so it don't go any further, we allow it to stay and enter it in some other things that enters in with it, and it becomes part of our subconscious, which is the heart of you and I and our thinking. Now, I've taken a lot of slow time in analyzing this to understand that's why people do what they do. We think, hey, I got saved. Praise God. I won't worry about nothing else. Just wait. Satan, like a sly fox, waiting to a weak point in your Christian faith, the link there, and he'll find it one of these days. And when he does, he'll pop up something. He won't even wonder, you know, I can't believe I thought of that. If I had, I wonder if I'm even saved. He's a powerful being. If you don't have the Word of God to counteract that, you can't say, well, I think I am. If you get back thinking you are, you need the Word of God. God never wants you to think that you are. He wants you to know that you are. He says, these things I've written in you that you may know that you have eternal life. If He can get us thinking that we've got it, then sooner or later He'll get us thinking we may not have. It's powerful. There is a key that you can press that delete it. You can keep it from being stored in your memory of the computer by deleting it. And this is why we must try to keep our minds on that which is good, that which is fair, and that which is right. No wonder the Bible says, as Paul speaking in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, he says, let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus. He didn't say like he had in Adam. He said, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Now, when the Paul said in Romans chapter 12, in verse 2, that ye be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Why? How? By the renewing of your mind. Why? That ye may know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Has to do with the mind. As I see that, when a thought enters your mind, it can either be stored in your heart, or you can delete it before it gets to your heart. In Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Someone said, but you can't think with your heart. Hey, I know that, and God knows that. Why would he say that then? He's letting us know the heart is the center of your thinking. It's the center of it. You think with your mind. But that deposit in the subconscious is the center. And everything that we learn goes to the center if we allow it to enter into us as a human being in our thinking. The heart here is the subconscious mind. Now, when I talk about this, the question then had, how can I protect my heart in this era for justice? How can you protect your heart? And I'm going to give you seven quick things, and believe me, they'll be quick. Things that we can do you won't even think about because you think it's really unnecessary. We are in this flesh, it's so easy to act and be like the world. It'll spin your mind when you think about it. Because we have not arrived as of yet in a glorified body. Now, how can I control this subconscious mind, the center of my thinking, that God calls the heart, to keep it from coming and controlling me here? Because it will. As you rationalize what is good and what is bad. That's the reason I think that God is so important. When the Holy Spirit comes in, I can understand why God says, when you trust Christ as my Savior, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to give you my Spirit. Because you alone cannot handle it. You alone cannot do what I need to do by yourself. Because the way you're made, once you have fallen, you are fallen. And until I can move you out of body of flesh, so you won't be tempted with the fallen condition you're in, the flesh, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit of God, and I'm going to give you the Word of God. And if you act upon that and utilize that, then you will have victory where your heart and life will be different when it comes to this world. You may be condemned by the world. And by the way, it's happening every way you turn. You can't hardly say a thing for the Lord nowadays without being criticized as being off base or rebel-rouser or maybe hurting somebody. You're talking about being saved. Next thing you know, you got someone saying to you, you're throwing off on the Jews or throwing off on the Muslim or throwing off something. You can just talk about being born in Jesus Christ only. And next thing you know, they got you with words that you're trying to hurt some other organization. You and I are going to have more than just religious, egotistical conditions in our life. We're going to have some facts that God has given us to stand that comes from within us. That's how those people who die, as we look at the Fox Books on Martyrs on Wednesday night before we study the lesson each time. So how can you protect your heart in these errors quickly? Let me quickly give them to you. First of all, number one, develop a reputation for not listening to bad things. It is better not to allow something into the screen of the computer that you do not want stored inside the memory of the computer if you can possibly help it. Because then you don't have to worry about it. There are a few Christians who keep things from their mind because they refuse to listen to gospel or bad things that said about other people or said about God or anything else. I mean, to try to develop a reputation to not listen to bad things, not listen to gossip. Why, preacher? Because the gossiper will say this. You know, no use to talk to him or her. Why? They won't tell nobody else. No use to waste your time there. They won't tell nobody else. You see, knowing about Jesus is not enough. You have to receive him. That tells me I'm on the right track here. You can have all the mental aspect about Christ that you can want to have, but that won't save your soul. You have to receive him. And when you receive him, that reality of Christ comes deep down in your soul, in your subconscious thinking that becomes part of you and I that makes us into what God wants us to make when we obey him. Amen. So the world can see. So again, don't listen to bad things. Number two, stop people in their conversation if you see bad things coming. I may not be able to keep bad things from the screen of my conscious mind, But may God help me to stop it from being recorded completely in my heart. I am going to avoid as much as I can, because I tell you, I need much more God than this worldly mess to live my life. If it's in my era of judgment, I must listen to make a judgment. Yes. If it's in your era of judgment, you must listen to make a judgment. On the other hand, if there are not two or three witness, then if there are two or three witnesses, I must listen. I must listen because that's Bible. But if there's not, then I don't have to listen. I must try to stop it when I see it coming. And when you cannot stop it and it gets on the screen of your mind, quickly delete it. You say, "Preacher, how can I do that?" You can do it by saying, "I don't believe it. It's not true. I refuse to accept anything I hear unless I have the facts." Somebody say, "Well, that's what I do about Christ. I don't have the facts." Oh, I've got the facts about Him. Praise God. Listen, my facts are real about Him. "Well, it's not me." I'm sorry, brother. You're headed to hell if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, I can be strong about that, but some things I can't be as strong about because what? I don't have all the facts. And so again, then the next time you see that person, you have some good words on your mind right beside the accusation. Protect your heart from evil, or you will become evil as well. And I will become evil as well. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul puts it this way. And he's speaking in chapter 4. He says this, down about verse 17. He said, "This I say, therefore, testifying the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." That's what we're talking about here. Having the understanding. How's the vanity? Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. God help me as a Christian never get in that category, because I don't have to. Unsaved people don't have no choice sometimes. They're defending themselves. And here, he goes on, "You must fight to prevent evil thoughts from your being stored in your mind, or you will soon have an evil subconscious. This is the fallen nature occupying automatically." That's all it can thrive on as we listen to those things. So don't listen to bad things. Stop people in the conversation if you hear bad things. Number three, if you have already heard something, immediately talk about something else. You already heard it and you can't prove it, talk about something else. Keep evil thoughts from being stored in your mind before they lodge in your heart. Quickly change the subject. If you want to change your thoughts, quickly start talking about something else. That's good. And you know something, ladies and gentlemen, talking occupies your mind more than you're thinking. Talking out loud will change the way you think. It is difficult to think of one thing and talk about something else. Have you ever tried it? I tried this week. I'm sorry, I can't do it. I can't think of one thing and talk about something else. I can't talk about one thing and think about something else. I can't even talk. I believe Satan did something. The reason for that is we have to synchronize both together. Then we know. If I'm trying to think of something and talk about something else, I'm not in the conversation. I have to line them up so I know exactly what I'm discussing at the time. Number three, again, talk about something else. A wife and a husband had a big fallout. Don't too many have that. I'm looking at you to tell you, you never had one. But a wife and her husband had a big fallout. They didn't talk to each other about half a day, and he finally said, "You know, there's no use to be this way. I just want to go back to her and tell her I'm sorry." He went back and said, "Honey, I want to, you know, I'm sorry. I decided to agree with you." And she said, "Too late. I didn't change my mind." You can't talk about one thing, think about something else. Now, I do not want to be rude. But ladies and gentlemen, I'd rather be rude than allow my mind to be filled with garbage about somebody else through gossip that's not so. your subconscious mind will judge a person to be guilty. If you allow that accusation against that person to enter your subconsciousness without all the facts, nothing wrong if the facts are there. In fact, by the way, facts will prove themselves. Just wait long enough and you'll see it. You'll see it. The subconscious mind association will cause people to condemn the individual, and the subconscious mind convicts the accused without facts. True facts will accuse someone accurately themselves. And I can agree with the facts. If I read something in the paper, it's been proven, then I agree with those facts. If it's proven. By the way, that's only being honest. No use to deny facts and lie about something, amen? No use to do that. Number four, do not allow your mind to picture it. Now, this is a big case for me because I picture everything. I told you Wednesday night when I'm studying, I have to see these. I see Pilate. And I see Christ before Pilate. And I picture a lot of things in my mind. We have the power to picture things in our mind or to keep them out of our mind, you see, as a child of God. Satan cannot make you and me do anything we don't want to do. He can't do it. I'm sorry. He's more powerful than I am. A greater is he in me than in this world. And so he cannot make me do something that I do not want to do because I have one I can rely on to help me. Your subconscious will store something bad about somebody that may not be true if it's not checked. Nothing wrong if it is true, but it may not if it's not checked. And what I want you to see, you cannot serve God with this type of a mind. You have to keep your mind clean and pure by studying the Word of God. Satan tries to control the flesh by connecting to the five senses. He uses three arrows: lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and lust of the eyes, and pride of life. We are creatures that we come into this world to learn from a little babe. We have to be looked after until we develop to where we are today. We find out that practices become habit. We find out that in those habits, there's choices that's made. We learn to make those choices. When we make choices, there's deeds that we do. When we choose to do deeds, then we have character that's developed, and character is who you and I are. And God wants us to develop not only in character as a human being, but in character as a child of God in this world. Number five, avoid reading or looking at anything that will tell you things that you don't want to store up in your subconscious mind. Ladies and gentlemen, if you and I don't watch that, you're going to find out that it's going to take on the world's mannerism. It will take on the world's speech, the world's action, until those things co-occupy your mind more so than the things of God, and my mind than the things of God. So we need to avoid many things that we may look at and read. Number six, we need to learn to control our minds. Paul tells us to think on certain things. Why? Well, he says in Philippians, if you look in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, he tells us a number of things that we are to think on. He goes this way. He said, finally, brother, whatsoever things are true and honest and just, and I'm skipping out, you relate, and pure and lovely and good report, if there be virtue, if there be any praise, watch these four words. Think on these things. Boy, he named a number of things, and of course there's others, I'm sure. But think on these things. To think on these things helps us to keep control of our minds. You know why? Ladies and gentlemen, God sets his mind to work through our minds. That's the reason Paul said in Philippians 2:5, let this mind that's in Christ Jesus be in you. God sets his mind to work through our mind. We're in his image. And God will not work through us unless we have the mind of Christ yielded to him. Where do you get the mind of Christ from? This book? This is where we get that from. What you put in your subconscious mind will stay there and be hard to get it off later. Here you will have flashbacks. You'll find that you'll develop habits you didn't think you'd develop. I heard people say, preacher, I don't know how in the world I got to where I'm at. I didn't intend to. I don't know why in the world I started doing that. I don't know why in the world I got hooked on booze. I don't know why in the world I got hooked on this and that and the other. Somewhere or another you made a decision to go in that route. God didn't make you do it. We have to understand the responsibility we have. He didn't make me do it in this life. Again, you do have the power to fix your mind on the right thoughts, which will help you keep bad thoughts out of your mind. So don't listen to bad things. Stop the conversation when you see bad things coming. If you already have heard something and now have the facts, talk about something else. Do not allow a picture in your mind if you don't have all the facts. Do not read or look at something bad. Be in control of your mind as to what you see or hear. And then the last one I want you to note with me. Learn to not make quick judgments on anything without the facts. I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, that which makes you and I different than the world. These things help us to keep control of our mind. How do you look at something and don't make a quick judgment without the facts? I heard a phrase the other day called no decision. I said, boy, that fits right there real good. No decision. What do you mean, no decision? You know, there are three positions on anything you and I face. We're for or against, or no decision. You're guilty or not guilty, or no decision. It'll fit anywhere if you don't have that exact answer. And it's interesting. No decision should be used when something is not in your responsibility or my responsibility and absolutely understandable or known. I've seen times that people come to my office talk about some things and I could not get across and I just stop and start praying. I mean, when I don't have an answer and can't talk to one, I just pray. You know, it's not long before people leave while I'm praying. You say, why preachers do that? Because I can't help someone who won't listen. Plus the fact, ladies and gentlemen, if I don't know all the facts, I can't evaluate something right. And neither can anyone else. No decision should be used when something is not in your responsibility. No decision should be used when information seems like garbage and will hurt somebody. No decision should be made when there's only one witness. No decision should be made. Whatever is said cannot be proven. We all have one mind. We can either fill it with evil, or we can protect it from evil by filling it with God's Word. And if we feel the subconscious and don't delete it when it crosses our mind, then we will produce evil things we were not able to produce. You say, not me. God may call it evil when you don't. When I don't, He may call it evil to me. When I wouldn't call it evil. We must be filled by the Word of God. And the Word of God gives us understanding. If we fill our hearts with evil, we will become evil. The same if we fill our hearts with good, we will become good. It is my prayer that God will help us fill our hearts with good and the Word of God, help us to protect our minds, and help us to refuse to allow our minds to be a garbage dump in this life. Why? Ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind, words are the voice of the heart. You hear someone's mouth flowing like a garbage, a sewage, it's defining the heart. You hear a person who gossips all the time, I don't care how close they say are to the Lord, it still manifests as something wrong with the heart. Let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus. This will help us in life. Your action becomes the evidence of your faith. My action becomes the evidence of my faith. Your mind must stay free. My mind must stay free in order for me or you to make judgments about who you are in Christ, who I am in Christ. What is the mind of Christ? Christ hanging on the cross said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. In John chapter 8 and verse 11, a woman's found in the act of adultery. And she comes with a repentant heart and she cries to Christ. And He said, where are your accusers? And she said, I have none. And Jesus said, who knew what she had done, who knew where she was at, who knew exactly her situation. And He said unto her, because of her faith in Him, neither do I condemn thee. Who am I? I'm the judge of no one. I will state my case. Adultery is wrong. Drugs are wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry. Alcohol is wrong because it'll cause you to do things you would not normally do. I have a right to say that. When I say that, I don't judge anybody. I'm speaking truth. I have a right to say that God hates a liar, because the Bible said so. I have a right to say that gossip is not of God, it's of the devil. Well, I have a right to say to you and I this morning, this thing of the Christian life is not like the world was claiming it. And we have to be careful with our conscience, with our mind, because if we don't learn that which comes on the member of our mind, if it's not what it should be, delete it. In God's name, delete it and get away from it. No wonder Paul said, flee from youthful lust. UN people? Flee from it. I can handle it. No, you can't. Even adults can't handle it. It's too powerful for us. You have to realize that to be an image of God, God has told us who we are. He said, son, I have made you. I know you like a book. You're my design. And I've written a book to help that design, even though it's fallen, be restored so I can use you. I'll not use you when you use your carnal mind. I'll use you when you get in tune with my mind, which is through Christ and the Word of God. And I'll raise you up another level. It's not wanting to be somewhere or another. It's not wanting to be seen. I care nothing about being seen. I care nothing about being notarized as far as the world is concerned. But I do care in presenting Christ as who He really is. And He says, what I'll do, son. What I'll do, dear daughter. What I'll do, dear son. I'll tell you, if you will let me be what I need to be in your heart, with all the flaws that's there and people are going to see Him, I will do a work in you and raise you to a level and to another level and to another level that I want you at, not because you want it. And each one of those levels, you'll be humble. You'll be esteemed in humility. Because you're not looking for a name. You're just looking to serve God. Just to serve God. Wherever it's at. You let me find, let me show you the place where it's at, and I'll raise you, and I'll raise you. Because you want me exalted more than yourself. Now to do that, here's some instructions about how the conscious and the subconscious works. Keep in mind, we can hear a lot of things. There's some things we need to listen to. But you know what's happening? We listen to the things that we should not when we ought to just be hearing. And the things that we're hearing that we should listen to, we don't. And what's happened, a lot of things are registering in this day. You know what? Because the world is geared that way. Folks, you go out this afternoon to eat somewhere or another, and your mind will be seeing many things other than what God wants us to see. And by the way, to live, you can't keep from seeing it. I can't keep from seeing it. I cannot. And it will affect us in the subconscious mind if we're not careful by what we see and what we hear, unless we delete it. And say, by the grace of God, Lord, with your help, I'm going to keep my heart and mind clean. So when I observe someone, my mouth don't become like the world and destroyed. Because I want the mind of Christ. Father, forgive them. Neither do I condemn them. But I will tell them what God says He'll do. There's coming a day, He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. Unless you let Christ wash your sins away. That's the answer. My Father, Lord, this is a needed message for our day. With everything been taught, please help us. Lord, I believe these are messages years ago churches heard at least 3 or 4 times a year. We need your help, Lord. All of us do. I don't care where we are. There's not a church in this land that doesn't need help to understand what's happening to us in these latter days. Lord, our church, or the church per se, should be where it was 100 years ago, and the world just moves on further. But the church now is where the world was 10 years ago. In other words, the distance should be even further between the church and the world, but we're keeping the same distance as years go by because we're changing so much. Lord, help us take this with an attitude, dear God. Help me as a Christian to understand the mind of Christ. When the facts are there, then I have a right to stand, have a right to rebuke, I have the right to reprove. Paul said that as he wrote to Timothy. We have a right, dear Father, to set straight. We have a right to stand upon the Word of God. Same time, that's not as a judge, though. We're not the judge. We're the messenger. And then the individual has to make judgment on their own self when they hear the message. Therefore, let someone see here today from this message. They can hear all they want to about Christ, know all the facts about Him, but until the day they receive Him as their Savior, He will not benefit their life in eternity. Help us see that. We know that you're the Son of God, virgin born, shed your blood on Calvary. We go through Easter, go through Christmas, recognize that. But we have to receive you into our heart, subconscious, down beneath, other than just the mental aspect. And God says it. To as many as receive, He give eternal life to them. Believe in the heart, God is raising the dead. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart, God is raising from the dead. There it is. Believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.